Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Well, Curtis, maybe it's not all so bleak. The Niners are coming off a loss in Minnesota, a shocking loss, 23-17. They are in Los Angeles tomorrow without Kittle. Maybe the Niners are beatable in a week, 10 days break here. Have Gerard Mayo's boys just get a little rest this weekend.
Easy. I love the 49ers because my man Taylor Condon, who's in this awful fantasy football league that I have to do every year, it sucks. And he spent, it's an auction.
Auction draft.
And he spent over $100 on Christian McCaffrey.
How much money do you start out with before the
$250
draft? $250. Wow, that more than half on an injured running back.
Well, not quite half, but yeah. It was a brutal decision by Taylor Condon and a life of bad decisions. But
I would hate to be in a fantasy draft with you because you would just mock everybody that
stumbled. I don't know half the people. I don't want
mock the guy over New England.
Well, because I know him. I went to high school with him. You know, he's a good guy, but not very bright.
I feel
and
for you.
His term paper at Rivers was titled DECELERATION, the deceleration of independence. He misspelled his cover sheet.
What kind of grade did you get on that?
I don't know. He's a smart guy. Anyway, sorry about that, Condo. But can I quickly, before we get to the top of the hour, I know we got some time.
Mm-hmm. It's past the top of the hour. We're good.
To the next, before our time is done. Who knows? It could come at any moment.
Time flies.
It really does when you're having fun and when you're talking to you both. tonight, Boston College, the red bandana game.
Yeah,
it gets talked about a lot, and I know it's it can seem repetitive, but it is just the coolest thing that Boston College has ever done, which is embrace this. I remember it so well. My sister graduated Boston College '99, the same class as Wells Crowther, and there was this small group of BC alums that knew of the story after 9/11 that would get together. They had like fundraisers at Who's on First. They had different things where they would honor a classmate who had, done the most admirable thing you can, which is give your life in pursuit of saving others so that they could live and you perish. Mm-hmm. And over time, it's sort of gotten buzz, but I really want to give Tom Rinaldi and ESPN the most credit because they took it from a little local story where, I think people in the Boston sports media landscape understood it or were somewhat tangentially aware of it. What Tom Rinaldi wrote, what Ed Burns narrates, and what ESPN produced, The Man in the Red Bandana, which is how would you spend the final hours of your life, is, for my money, the best piece of production I have ever seen related to sports in real world. It's just, it's 14 minutes. I've watched it probably 1,000 times. I cry every single time. And the stages of my life that I've seen it at, it hits you differently depending on where you are in life, but it always hits you in a way that creates just this deep, deep gratitude for those that walked up those stairs into that hellhole. And for a guy like Wells Crowther, who easily could have left when he saved people's lives, he went back. His remains were found near uniformed officers who were obviously giving their life an amazing sacrifice. And it's just such an amazing event, and they really do, whether it's the jerseys that now have the red bandana in it or this freshman now at BC, it used to you get a super fan shirt.
Those Paisley jerseys pop with the numbers with the Paisley. That's great.
And all freshmen at BC orientation get a red bandana, and you're taught immediately about it. And I'm going to repeat my plea for Boston College, which is there should be two statues. We already have
Flutie. Oh, now you're a statue guy.
Of Pete Frates and Wells Crowther, two BC guys that
started national sort of attention gathering.
Right. St. Ignatius, part of the Jesuit chapter, is what you do here can change the world, men and women for others. What those two have done by just reacting to adversity in the most heroic way has reshaped the world. I mean, the way we understand ALS and the research is thanks in large part to what Pete Frates did in fighting against that horrific disease, and his family in his memory still do. They had the captain's ball this past Thursday with Ray Bourque. And what Wells Crowther did is just two things that should be commemorated forever on that campus. And I don't know why it doesn't exist, but I'm sure it will at some point. So tonight at 8, BC takes on Michigan State.
3-0 Michigan State. They're favored over a 3-0 Michigan State team. Just think about that.
Wild.
Not that Michigan State's like a football powerhouse necessarily, but still. Big Ten team. Respect coming in. That crowd should be amazing despite the weather.
Yeah, it'll be a great night at the Heights, and it's BC is the story right now. And Bill O'Brien has done an awesome job, and I just
and a great interview with you guys on Thursday mornings on the Greg Hill Show.
It's honestly awesome to have people that I think are otherwise listeners. You know, we had it briefly with is it Frank Howard, the UMass basketball coach?
Frank Martin.
Frank Martin, at the Springfield Basketball Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. For that broadcast, and he was excellent because he listens to the show every morning. And Billy O has been just a revelation. He gets it. He laughs. I mean, he doesn't get in on things, but I think he really enjoyed the Patricia jokes this past week. So, good luck to Billy O tonight in BC as they celebrate the remarkable life of Wells Crowther.
Have they ever done a Color Rush? They don't do the Color Rush games. No Gold Rush. Nothing. Like that.
I think when I was there, they did something. I was bombed off my ass, but I think there was something like that.
I mean, tonight's the bandana stuff, but they should do something.
Well, I mean, it was always the gimmicky, gold of the superfan shirts.
That would pop.
Yeah.
Maroon Platoon?
Maroon Platoon. I don't think that's right. Quite it. But okay. And also a quick note that I want to praise Bill Belichick for something.
Okay.
Another thing from last week, I never mentioned it, Shaughnessy's Friday column, which is great. Washington football has a website where boosters of the Huskies football program, you know, that Huskies actually still has a football
program. You talked about this last week, I think.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought I hadn't.
Dinner with Bill to raise money.
$25,000 and you get dinner with Bill.
Yeah.
And the money goes to the NIL fund.
You just can't stop praising Bill.
I think it's a great thing.
Let's go back to the phones where you can join us on the Ken and Curtis Show, 617-779-7937. Kyle and Lowell been hanging on the longest. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Kyle.
Are we sure that Mark Collar wasn't Jonathan Kraft himself earlier?
Kyle, before you get going, I'm plenty of time. The world is off its axis. I'm getting texts saying that I need to stop being so hard on Kraft and go after Bill. What in the world? All I get told is how much I hate Bill Belichick. Which one is it?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I'm calling in about email. I think it's about time I deserve my flowers on this one. And your co-host, she was the one leading the narrative, trying to put the fog over the Boston area on the E-made bullcrap. That guy was so overrated. He was the reason we lost to Golden State. Our offense was atrocious the whole year, pushing Marcus Smart in defense. Second, we got rid of Marcus Smart in the defense. Look what happened with Missoula. She went as far to say Damon Stoudemire was who we needed, and we were going to lose because we didn't pick him up as the coach over Missoula.
Do you give Missoula a ton of credit or just they improved just the direction without Ime?
I just give Ime zero credit for what he did here.
Yeah.
Any coach could have came in, taken the ball out of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's hands a little bit, fixed up the offense, get Marcus Smart out, do whatever you got to do to just make Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum the vocal points and get some type of a point guard going. Any coach could have came in here and did that. I like Joe Mazzulla because he's a local guy. He actually played at a high level, and I called him multiple times saying that. I don't give a crap who Ime Udoka is. He's a bum center who played in the NBA. Why would people favor him over a local guy? It makes zero sense. Not to mention he coached under Huggins. This is like one of the most famous coaches in college history. The guy has to have no
something.
Ime
coached under Popovich.
And then what did Popovich do? Told him to get out of here. There's been millions of coaches who coached under Popovich.
Well, there's been millions of coaches that have coached under Huggins.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but is he a local guy?
Who cares where they're from?
I'm a Rhode Island guy. We love Rhode Island.
I mean, to say that everybody was all in on Missoula when they lost to the Miami Heat is rewriting history.
Well, he's not giving Missoula a ton of credit, which I'm fine with. I do think the Golden State series.
If you had to give one coach the edge of why the Celtics reached where they reached, would it be Ime or Missoula?
Missoula. Wait, say that again?
If you had to credit one coach for getting the Celtics to where they arrived.
Yeah, Missoula, you got to give him some credit now. I would give him more credit than Ime.
I think if you gave Ime a roster without Marcus Smart, they would have done. I think the real issue, it's not that Missoula.
Well, Tatum and Brown came.
Missoula wasn't hurting the team. Believe me, he wasn't hurting the team. But what Marcus Smart represented, not him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of guys that did great stuff off the floor, Marcus Smart was awesome in the community. Marcus Smart's ego did not mesh with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's evolution as stars in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, that decision to move on from him, I mean, I'm sure Missoula had something to do with it, but it was more Brad and Wick, right?
Right, so but I'm saying that that was, and Wiggy and I were holding hands through that one, that all the Celtic fans that were so butthurt about Marcus Smart leaving town and Mr. Take a Charge, like, that was the catalyst for the championship run.
But in Ime's defense, I mean, Tatum's got to be better than Andrew Wiggins in that series, or, I mean, they just weren't ready. The Golden State was just more mature, better coached at the time, for sure, but Tatum and Brown weren't ready. I mean, looking back on that, if Ime was not their head coach, Curtis, do you think they win that series? If they have Steve Kerr, if they flip coaches, Steve Kerr's your coach?
No, I think that Steph Curry was going to win that series.
You weren't ready. They needed progress at that time.
I mean, you could say, if you want to go back, they're up 2-1 at home.
Yep.
And game four, that was 2 minutes left in that game. They blew that game. But yeah, that's like running into Brady or Jordan. Like, that's just Steph Curry and that team is too good.
Let's go to Joe in Arlington. Hey, Joe.
Hey guys, how you doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, just a couple quick comments on the Brady broadcasting. I'm sure you guys listened to him this past week on the Let's Go podcast with Belichick.
I heard bits and pieces. I did not hear the whole thing.
Okay. Well, I gotta tell you, I mean, his personality and his enthusiasm on the podcast compared to the broadcasting, it's like night and day. I mean, he does have a personality, and if he could just bring that out, it'd be a huge difference. I don't know why. I think he's analyzing it too much. Even on the podcast, he's talking about, like, you know, simplifying things on how coach would simplify how we do things. And then, you know, in the broadcast, I don't think he's simplifying. I think he's trying to analyze things too much. So anyway,
it could be. I mean, honestly, that's the fight of broadcasts everywhere, right? We've talked about this with back to the old making the Red Sox broadcast a talk show approach, which goes too far. But the broadcast booth, Curtis, you know this, you get in there and you just get conservative and it just becomes like you feel like you have to be boring or the announcer voice starts to come out and you're not a human anymore.
I would just say that it's a totally different genre. It's like, you know, it's like doing a hour-long sit-down with Howard Stern without a commercial break, mm-hmm. versus a 10-minute interview with Bill Belichick. That's just, there's a whole different way to which it's done. My guess is many of the topics that Bill and Tom discussed were pre-scripted, sent to each other so that there was no gotcha moments.
And he's just comfortable in that format compared to being in the booth.
I actually think he sounds still, I think it's all of us, right? You see your principal or an old coach years later, you're still sort of deferential.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a part of that with Bill and Tom, but I also think they both just, you know, tried to rewrite history the best they can, which, God bless them, I guess it's what you do when you finish playing.
Well, will Bill come back for the statue unveiling week 5?
But that reaction, I wonder if the Krafts really understood the repudiation of the fan base and what that ovation meant to Bill Belichick, mm-hmm. when Tom Brady was honored that night.
Yeah, great for Bill.
And how much Bill, the notion that he's not going to come back and coach, I just find so laughable.
Well, you're saying Jacksonville, which is stunning.
That's not what I said. We should replay that audio.
All right. We can do that here until noon at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the freedom of choice. You love that, Curtis. Shop deals built just for you. It's the New England edition Ford F-150.
Fords are hot right now.
They are.
They're everywhere.
F-150 is hotter than ever.
I mean, I would love a pickup truck.
It's the official truck of the Red Sox. And here's Joe Braverman, our official trending voice.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, it felt like no one wanted it last night, but the Sox wanted it less as they fell to the Twins 4-2 in 12 innings. Richard Fitz once again went 5 shutout innings for the third straight time, but it was Minnesota who finally broke the 1-1 tie in the 12th with 3 runs off of Cooper Criswell. The Sox offense tied a franchise record with 20 strikeouts on the night. They were 1 of 19 with runners in scoring position. They now sit 5 games back in the wildcard standings with 8 games to go. And Alex Cora gave some bad news about Rafi Devers and his nagging shoulder injury.
When he hit inside, he felt it. So he's going to get an MRI tomorrow, see where we at, and probably this is it for him.
Game two of this three-game series will be this afternoon. You can hear the Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming on the call from Fenway at 4:10 on the Shaw's at Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Cutter Crawford will get the start for the Sox opposite Pablo Lopez for the Twins. John Lyons will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. Some injury news going around the NFL. Niners tight end George Kittle is likely to miss tomorrow's matchup with the Rams with a hamstring injury. San Fran's defenders Nick Bosa and Charvarius Ward also are questionable. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said QB Jordan Love is likely a game-time decision as he deals with an MCL sprain. And Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert is questionable. He's dealing with a high ankle sprain. Staying in football, Boston College plays their traditional red bandana game tonight against Michigan State. Kickoff set for 8 o'clock. You can listen to that game right here on 93.7 WBEI-FM or on the free Odyssey app with coverage starting at 7:30. And the Revolution hit the road to face Charlotte FC this afternoon. That game starts at 4 o'clock. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Jarrod was in here. He said there were some plays that maybe were called runs or passes in the huddle that you guys had to check in and out of at the line of scrimmage. How often would you say that happened?
A mixture. I mean, like I said, it really didn't come down to the plays. It was just like they just beat our ass, to be honest with you. You could be my
luck. Quote of the week from Jacoby. They just beat our ass. Indeed they did. Jets pounded them 24-3. How about this from Jones? He pulled this. Well, it's not from Jones, but he pulled this out from a stat service. The New York Jets in that game did something historic that no other NFL team had done in the Super Bowl era in one game. 400-plus yards of offense, 40 minutes time of possession, zero turnovers, zero touchdowns allowed, and seven or more sacks. Had never been done in an NFL game until that Thursday performance.
The last time I saw a game that reminded me of that was when I was at Rivers and we played Governor Dummer. And it was like...
The governor had their way with you?
I mean, like, I saw them step off the bus and I said, I hope they're not coming to play us because they look different.
Were you playing both ways?
No, that was my first year back in the States at Rivers, and I came in late. And great, one of the great plays in the history of sports, I was unblocked. So I'm like, woohoo! I'm running up the field like a chicken with my head. And then I got total blindsided.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, my God. That was rough. But, yeah. It was the fact that that game got almost 14 million viewers on a streaming service is just absolutely insane. Like, that was a awful game.
Where did Bill watch the game?
Oh, my God.
Was he shirtless? Was he pantsless?
There is a scene in Road Trip where the guy bumps into a picture because he had just taken Viagra. That was Bill. Honey, you're boner.
413 texter. Bill is going to Dallas, Philly, Jets, or Bills. He has no time for a rebuild.
I think the Bills are a great one. That's a great idea, too. We talked about that last year. I think I just want him back. I want him as a story. It's so much fun when you have two teams that you're kind of interested in, you know, for differing purposes.
Jets is interesting. What if Saleh fumbles the ball here?
Could very well happen.
And Rodgers starts campaigning for Bill to come there.
Yeah, it is.
They love each other.
By the way, just on a quick note about, we mentioned it. You sent me the sound, or I don't know, Baker Mayfield said that Tom Brady was too high strung. So there's a tweet from NBC Sports Boston and Pro Football Talk with that quote, and the replies are just amazing. Just people just say, yeah, it must have been so unhappy winning a Super Bowl. But that's today's athlete. That is Baker Mayfield. That is why Jerod Mayo's
He's just the messenger.
Coach.
He's not ripping Brady.
No, but he's expressing how the room is lighter. Well,
right.
The Patriots are lighter with Jerod Mayo.
Playing-wise, Tom is different. He had everybody dialed in, high-strung environment, so I think everybody was pretty stressed out.
Yeah, it's those are tough environments. I would hope that, you know, our intelligence offices and the military is always high strung, so you're prepared. But
this is why I come in the morning show and just start throwing tables if need be.
Right,
I set the tone, and you guys step in line.
Yeah, that's it. That's how it's done. But it'll be a I think the Bills and the Eagles are two organizations that, absent a deep playoff run. Eagles, they say, absent an NFC championship run, they will change coach. McDermott, they have that new big arena that's coming, new big stadium coming into Buffalo. I know he's been extended, but Josh Allen doesn't have much time left with this, you know, well, I guess he has time, but I don't think McDermott has much time left without winning with Josh Allen.
Who was who's in the last since Brady left, Kraft or Belichick? Who do you blame more for the current state of the franchise? Which you said at the start of the show is at the nadir. I don't think you're right about that. I think that's actually end of the year last year. You're coming out of it a little bit.
Are you?
Yes. You have Drake May. There's some hope. However, who do you blame more? Kraft.
Well, hope doesn't relate to the nadir. I'm talking about like the actual organization. Last year at this time, they had what many people believe to be the best coach in the history of the sport and GM on the team.
But you had no quarterback.
Well, right. But we don't know whether Drake May is a quarterback.
At least you have hope. Scheib thinks you do.
I think right now, as the full package of the Patriots is the least valuable it has ever been since Bill Belichick was hired in 2000.
Okay, so who deserves more blame for that, Bill or Kraft?
Boy. I have to know who was in charge of spending. Because if it's Robert Kraft who told Bill not to spend, then it's Robert Kraft.
Wow. You blame Kraft more than Bill.
Well, it's...
Patricia. Just that alone. Ego, as you pointed out, the drafting.
I mean, I guess if... But here's the issue I have.
Cole Strange.
If Robert Kraft owns the team, then he chose Bill over Tom. So no matter what Bill wanted, he allowed Bill to choose himself over the quarterback, right?
I mean, I guess, yes. He's,
and what was the biggest decision?
Complicit, but still, you trust the guy to make good decisions.
The day Tom Brady raised a Lombardi as the quarterback of another franchise is the day Robert Kraft lost.
Well, Bill snapped. You know, he had Linda tweeting during the Super Bowl, as you pointed out. So, and he just started to do bizarre things.
I mean, Tom Brady was the runner-up for MVP a year after he won the Super Bowl MVP for a different franchise.
It's Bill was much worse in that last stretch.
Well, right, but I'm asking you, who's in charge? If Robert Kraft wasn't able to veto it, then that's
on
him.
Veto it. He fired the guy. So,
well, 5 years later.
Okay, yeah, maybe a year too late. Let's go to our good friend Danny and Quincy. It is a Saturday morning staple. Hello, Danny.
Well, Ken, you got to listen to what Curtis is telling you. And Curtis had an epiphany, I think. I want to speak for you, Curtis. Last year, a few months after Belichick got fired, finally realized that the guy who was in charge of spending, i.e. the owner, which is what I've been telling you for the last 10 years, well, since the whole Belichick is cheap narrative came into play, is that's what happened. Kraft was in charge of spending. He is to blame, and I'm so glad Kraft's son called in earlier. I get thinking it was Mark Kraft who called in. Was ripping Curtis for ripping Kraft. I got news for you, caller. Curtis never ripped Kraft for anything. Belichick got all the blame for everything up until a few months after he got fired last year. So I don't understand where you're coming from, Ken, or that caller is coming from.
Where I'm coming from is N'Keal Harry, Cole Strange.
Right.
The decision to put Patricia in as offensive coordinator. I mean, there are a lot of, you would admit Bill ruined Mac. I mean, he did a lot of damage.
And I would just ask you that, Danny, one second. Danny, one second. Why did Bill go along with spending the way they did if he didn't want to?
Well, we don't know if Belichick was in favor of spending or not spending. Maybe Belichick was in favor of spending, but...
No, I know, I'm asking you, if he was in favor of spending and he had the ultimate final say on roster in his contract, why did he allow it to continue?
He had the final say on roster, but not on spending.
What are you talking
about? Not on spending. Those are two different issues.
No, it's not.
Those are two different issues. And Ken,
how do you get a roster together?
What do you mean, how do you get a roster together?
What do you use to build a roster?
Cash.
Okay, so if you're not in charge of the cash, you're not in charge of building the roster.
You use free agency, you use trades. Yeah, okay.
Right.
I mean,
so to separate those two is asinine.
Was allowed to spend.
Separating those two is asinine, Danny.
But we're talking about the player that was let go, Tom Brady. That's Kraft on Kraft. That's it. End of discussion.
Do you think Bill Belichick wanted to keep Tom Brady?
That's on Bill.
I do. I think he would have kept it if Kraft... Wait a minute. Okay. The spending part of it is on Kraft. If Kraft... Oh, maybe Belichick wanted Brady to go. I'll take that one back.
Maybe?
All right?
Goodness. Wow. What a leap.
But Kraft had the veto power. I don't want to relitigate this because I call for something else, okay?
No, but I think we just had some growth. That was great. Okay, what do you want to talk about else?
Okay, but the thing is, as far as quarterbacks being ruined, this is another thing. You just brought it up, Ken. Earlier in the show, you asked Curtis if quarterbacks can be ruined, and Curtis said no. You can't ruin quarterback. All I heard was that Bill Belichick ruined Mac Jones. I heard was he ruined Mac Jones. I used to go crazy when I hear that because you can't ruin somebody who has been unruined. That's number one, Ken. You can't ruin somebody sucked already.
I feel like I'm walking around Rome.
He looked pretty good his rookie year.
Okay, that notwithstanding, he was horrible. And let me tell you another thing, okay? Jacoby Brissett, in the three games he started for the Patriots, never had a worse game than Mac Jones had, those first half of the season notwithstanding. The quarterback is not the problem with the Patriots right now. It's everything else around them that is the problem. Jacoby Brissett has done the job that everyone thought he was going to do. And I'm telling you right now, I sincerely woke up rooting for the Patriots to win every game. I've never rooted against them. But Kraft and Mayo, those two arrogant bleeps, needed a comeuppance. And it was so good to see the Jets pound the Patriots. And it was even better to see Aaron Rodgers deliver the blow. I loved it. I loved it. How are you feeling about that last week, Patriots? Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Danny, can I ask?
Vindictive.
Danny, what do you blame Bill Belichick for over the last 5 years?
Listen, nobody was more unhappy with Bill Belichick on the field than I was. I said to you a few times, he deserves to be fired.
So you agree with
him? We all agree on that, yes.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. But that doesn't take away from what he accomplished in the 20-plus years that he was here with Brady. That is what my problem is, that people want to rewrite the history and say it was all Brady. That is what goes up my tailpipe, okay? Because the greatest frigging coach in the history of the NFL.
So then why is he never won with another quarterback if he's the best?
By the way, you ask Curtis who's the greatest coach, and he'll say Belichick. So he's a fraud on the whole thing, too.
But I'm just asking, why can he only win with one quarterback?
The sample size was 20 with Brady.
Well, 20 he had 10 with other ones. That's a pretty long sample size.
He lasted with the same guy. And by the way, Curtis, the only reason why people didn't discuss Brady's performance last week on TV was the game was blacked out. Nobody saw that game last week.
I wasn't talking locally, Danny.
Doubleheader. CBS had the doubleheader. And right,
I was talking nationally.
Tomorrow's the record.
Provincially, nobody talked about it because it wasn't seen.
Well, everybody's going to watch the game tomorrow, and they'll be critiquing.
Well, tomorrow, I don't even care about that. That's not an easy job. Right. That's not an easy job.
Where's Bill next year, Danny? Before we let you go here, where's Bill next year?
He's probably in the Caribbean with his girlfriend.
What? You don't think he's coming back?
I don't know. I don't think the NFL is ready for Bill Belichick to come back because of his age and his antiquated thinking. You know, I wish people would make up their mind. Do they want the coaches to be the players' best friends, i.e. a parent being a kid's best friend, or do they want to be led? And being led in a superior subordinate relationship, I want to know which one is it in football. Because right now the vibe, Mayo's vibe, is being crushed, and I love it.
Well, I mean, look at Sean McVay. He won. I mean, who is the last disciplinarian to win a Super Bowl other than Bill?
That's a lot of pleasure to take in the Patriots' pain right
now. Oh, I respect that so much.
That is deep-seated.
That's great. I know how it feels. I knew how it felt.
But he agrees Bill should have been fired. Why are you pissed at the Patriots? They've done the right thing.
Because the way in which you can't – this is what Danny is – I love the ways in which we have seen things similarly, both in our joy of the schadenfreude. Robert Kraft tries to have it both ways. You can't be a victim of Belichick's behavior and be the most powerful owner in the NFL. You got to pick a side. You either had the ability to say – and this is what he did. I don't know why you just can't say it. I trusted – the quarterback, I trusted the coach to age better than the quarterback because one's on the field, the other's just your mind. And right. I think people at the time understood it.
Right. We all understood it.
So,
and it was going well for a year.
Right.
And by the way, Bill might show up in Jacksonville and get back together with Mac, and they'll make it all right again.
I mean, I would love Trevor Lawrence, Bill Belichick. Shad Khan can give them. Maybe they play in London. Maybe that's where Bill wants to be, international man of mystery.
617-779-7937. Ken and Curtis from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. The great Jim Croce, Curtis, passed away on September 20th. Yesterday's death anniversary back in 73. Today is the big Earth, Wind, and Fire Day. The 21st night of September. We never got that banger today. But you got to get Jim Croce in. Jim Croce, one of the greats, the late great. You'll be back with Greg and the crew and your other greats Monday morning. Gerard Mayo, a Mayo Monday. How do you think Gerard will be after the weekend? A little time to get away. He'll be compartmentalized. He'll be briefed.
It'll be brief. It'll be in and out.
But, I mean, he will have been briefed by bosses. They'll be back on the Jacoby. Jacoby is our quarterback. They're already in line.
4:05, San Francisco against the Patriots a week from Sunday is going to be brutal.
I don't know. You're not a Purdy guy.
He sucks.
And they're banged up. No, and they did suck, and they did lose to the Vikings.
But, like, I don't...
They're not going to win that game.
Do we have Orlovsky on the station this year?
No.
Okay, good. He sucks. Like,
I like Dan.
Oh, he just is so overcompensating for anything that people perceive as an insult at a quarterback. Like, he said that Justin Fields wasn't good and he got all this hate and now all of a sudden everybody's great. Brock Purdy is fine, but he is not a great quarterback. He is elevated by the scheme and the parts around him. Like, does anybody doubt that another guy that's more talented would be far more successful with that organization? Like, he's doing okay. Like, he's better than what we would envision Mr. Irrelevant to be, but he's not anybody I would give $200 to $300 million to.
He does have a hesitation to rip quarterbacks, especially young ones.
Well, what's his job?
Let's critique them.
Okay, so then what the hell is he doing?
He's definitely was a big Mac guy. You remember, like, he would go to the wall for
I know
Mac.
A lot of how do you like me now? Well, where is Mac there, Mr. Orlovsky?
How's Jaden Daniels done so far?
Is anybody a better expert at knowing bad quarterbacks than the guy that was awful at quarterback?
All right. So Daniels has been in and just sort of so-so, right, for Washington. I think they, you know.
He still hasn't thrown a touchdown pass.
They haven't. They had the chance to get him if they had lost more games last year, but there was no drama there, I guess.
I can't say that I have an informed opinion what I think. I mean, Jaden Daniels is older, right? He's 2 to 3 years older than Drake May.
He is. But your guy Marvin Harrison looked good.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Jr., yeah.
And awesome.
That's who you wanted.
I mean.
That is going to be the regret, especially if Drake doesn't play well when he does get in, that you should have taken the receiver, waited a year.
If there's any regret, it's not taking a tackle or getting a lineman. I mean, that's going to be the very sexy first-round pick this year. It's going to be a left tackle.
Well, let's start breaking down tackles in the college game.
I mean, I love pad level. Get into that.
Get your pad level analysis up.
So does Bradfo blame Cora at all?
Do you?
I'm asking you. Does Bradfo blame Cora for this year?
No. He blames trade deadline, lack of pitching additions.
So I would ask, why does Cora deserve to be one of the highest paid managers in baseball if he doesn't change the outcome?
It was beyond changing this year.
What year do we want to look at?
But you would agree, over under preseason was 77.5 wins, something like that? They're right on target for that.
So then why would you pay a guy a premium to do what he was expected?
When you get the elite talent, then he works his magic.
Well, how do we not know the wins against the replacement manager would not also be successful in 2018?
We've seen Renicky.
Okay, but I mean, instead of Weekend at Renicky's, like as somebody that was actually alive.
Right.
He's better than a dead guy, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
He could outmanage a pulseless manager.
Well, there you go. Nice. You're down with Cora now, too? Jeez.
We should be consistent.
Well, you're consistent. That it doesn't mean that much in the grand scheme of it.
I agree.
He's the face of the franchise. They needed to keep him, and they did.
But, you know,
Devers separated both shoulders and he collapsed. I don't know what to do.
I always pump his tires and I say, well, the bilingual component's great, but, you know, maybe just speak English to Devers and he'll hit.
Let's go to Paulie and Dedham on the Ken and Curtis Show. Hello, Paulie.
Hey, guys. Mustaz, I think everybody's overreacting right now. I mean, that was a heartbreaking loss. These guys really put out for this coach. They like him. And that was a tough loss. You know, you really needed that game, and perhaps you would have felt a little bit better going about yourself going to the Jets game. But only having 3 days to prepare after a heartbreaking loss like that, and you were starting to build, trying to build a little bit of momentum, That's tough to come back.
Are,
you know,
are you out, Paulie, or are you going to be in a week from, you know, week from tomorrow? Will you be back watching?
Well, I think there'll be. You can look for the team to play better. They'll be better prepared, more time to be prepared. They'll be better rested. They've got guys that are hurt too. Of course, the offensive lines are, you know, in disarray. But you know, you still have to understand the situation. You know, and people, you know, getting ready to jump off a cliff. Now this team's not going anywhere, so they really should be reeling themselves in anyhow. You know, but this is what I've been telling you, okay? I told you for a few years, and you could have done it again this year instead of bridging Brissett, you bridged Tom Brady. Everything on every level, things are much better than they are now, okay? You've got the free agents that are coming here to sign. You got two out of three top flight receivers, Mike Evans or Ridley, or the kid from San Fran here right now. You got that kid, that tackle that left Cincinnati, that free agent
Paulie,
tackle.
He's not
other free
playing.
Agents coming, right?
He's and, done. And he's not. I can't do this every week.
He should come back. He's not coming back.
Right.
Imagine how I feel taking quick. His call.
I mean, look, did Kraft make a mistake by choosing Bill over Brady? Yes.
Of course.
Should Tom have stayed? For the betterment of his career, yes. Would have preserved his legacy here.
Right. But his legacy is certainly taken a hit.
He went south. The marriage crumbled. Whatever. It's fine.
I think the marriage was already crumbling. And why do you give it? You want to talk about marriages? You want to talk about Bill Belichick?
He's now like schlepping around broadcast booths.
You want to talk about Belichick's time with the Jets and how that was going on?
Let's not defer to Bill. Let's talk about Tom.
But you don't seem to want to talk about that at all. I mean,
he could have won two more here if he had stayed.
Go read the depositions of Bill Belichick in that trial.
It didn't go right. And then Bill went off the rails. Bill snapped, and he ruined Mac.
BC 31, Michigan State 24.
Wow, feeling it. I actually do think they win tonight. How can you not win? Pick BC tonight? And I don't think Sparty's that good. They struggled with Maryland, so yeah. I like a BC win.
Under that awful deal. What was that coach that was like the hot coach in college football?
Mel Tucker.
Oh, my God. Oof.
All right, so beat Michigan State tonight, and you're 3-1. That will be an upset.
Ross Tucker better than Mel Tucker.
Joe Braverman, excellent job. Good to have you back. We were missed last week. The Bradfo Show is coming up. Don't go anywhere. Baseball is not boring, as said directly by who this week? Somebody was asked about that. Oh, the owner of our very company, David Field, echoed that sentiment in our town hall this week. Baseball isn't boring. Bradfo coming up. I don't know about Red Sox baseball tonight. Curtis, what do you think?
Mike Pushkov? All eyes are in Alumni Stadium as the BC Eagles on ACC Network. Ooh, I love it. They're picking it right now. Let's see who Blake Shelton takes. Yeah!
Everybody's picking BC.
Big one.
It's a clean sweep.
Pick that. Party in the modes tonight, as Lee Corso would say.
Ken and Curtis from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, presented by your New England Ford dealers and the freedom of choice. Shop deals built for you on the New England edition Ford F-150, official truck of the Red Sox.